The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Follow us on Twitter at LA News Guy. That's twitter.com/LA News Guy. Sunday morning newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
Kayleigh McEnany is joining us, press secretary of Trump 2020, to talk with us a bit about some of the legislation that is being worked out to help Americans through this time. Kayleigh, talk with us about the legislation, the ideas behind what's being proposed to get money into Americans' pockets, those who've been affected by this.
This was bipartisan legislation that passed, that the president led on, and it includes free diagnostic testing for coronavirus for Americans, tax credits for paid sick and family leave, funding for emergency nutritional aid and economic assistance for businesses, workers, and families, for those who need it most, for those who might be out of a job right now, having to stay at home, not getting a paycheck. This is a very big deal. It's very important, not to mention the administration's industry-wide efforts working with construction companies to provide masks, HHS purchasing $500 million in 95 masks for our stockpile, finding tens of thousands of ventilators, all of the work the president has done with the tourism industry, healthcare executives that he's called into his office. Has really been a whole of America approach that is geared towards helping everyday Americans to stay healthy and helping them to stay economically prosperous during this period of time.
That's a pretty clear way of saying what the president is about. This is not a big social program that is being unveiled on America just to do that. This is not moving to communism, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, so what this legislation does, and this is what is so innovative about it, it just speaks to the fact that we have a businessman as president. Basically, employees will receive pay directly from their employers rather than through a less efficient government-run type program. Every dollar of this required paid leave is going to be offset by tax credits for eligible employers. So it's going to protect small businesses by offering exemptions in the rare event that paid leave requirements would jeopardize their business. It takes into account, you know, the mom-and-pop business that's struggling right now. It also takes into account those Americans who are at home without pay by making sure that they receive some form of paid and sick leave that will be offset by tax credits.
It was interesting in watching the briefing. Some reporter had asked, but aren't you picking winners and losers? And the president aptly responded, look, if we want to take care of everybody, but if we don't take care of businesses, employees won't have jobs. And I thought that was a very powerful line.
I mean, that's just common sense. You know, it's funny because, you know, this is being hailed by Democrats. It is helping, you know, everyday Americans, which the president has routinely done during his presidency. But we got to take care of businesses, too, because businesses are writing the paycheck. Businesses are hurting right now as the economy is effectively, you know, at a halt, standstill for the moment while we defeat this crisis. But the economy is strong. The fundamentals of this economy are strong. Let's not forget we had historic low unemployment under this president, paychecks going up fastest for low and middle-income Americans. This is a strong, strong, robust economy that President Trump has put into place, and there is no one better to lead us through this time period than President Trump, who oversaw the greatest economic comeback we've seen really in our time, and will do so again as we move forward.
The president talking about the fact that there really has to be sacrifice from everyone. I mean, you think of it, the millions and millions of people who are at home right now, who are abiding by the best science on this, that if we can keep people from congregating and spreading this, that we can save lives. And for those who say it only affects the old, the data is starting to show otherwise. There were some reports that 20% of hospitalizations early on are from younger people. So we're not, there's not like one group is fine and the other group not. I mean, and people need to understand that too, don't they?
Absolutely. Young people, millennials, need to understand, of which I'm a part of that generation, that it's important to heed by these 15-day guidelines that the president has put into place to not gather in groups of 10 or more, to wash your hands, to take all of these necessary precautions, to engage in social distancing. That's important for young people as much as it is for the elderly and for senior citizens, especially because you know, though young people might be surviving this, it's something that we know could be quite hazardous to those in the senior community. And for us, we can be carriers. We might be able to battle through it, but someone with an underlying ailment who is also in that senior citizen category can really be affected if you're carrying it to them, even if you weather through. So it's really important to understand how this works and to keep the whole of the community safe by making really important personal decisions.
And what do you say to those, and there are some voices out there who say, okay, coronavirus at one level does damage and hurts people in their health and some lose their lives, but reacting to it, we've killed or temporarily destroyed the economy, and they're sitting on the sidelines saying that may be worse, kind of like the treatment is worse than the illness. What do you say when you hear those people saying that?
I think it's very important that the president took these necessary measures. Look, the travel restrictions he put in place back in January stopped this from being a whole lot worse. The last thing we would want to see is a nation that is sick and that comes to a halt because sickness takes hold, the coronavirus takes hold of many. Thanks to this president, he's abated the crisis. He's engaged in very smart decisions, for example, by not closing trade across the U.S.-Canada border, but by closing tourism and personal travel across that border. That's one example of many. He's always made decisions with an eye on keeping this economy great while keeping Americans healthy. And there's a balance there that needs to be struck. This president has done it. And I think he's right when he says, at the end of all of this, there's going to be so much pent-up demand. So many people have been sitting inside that we're going to have Americans out. We have the movies out at restaurants, fueling our small businesses and keeping this economy going.
Kayleigh McEnany is the Press Secretary, Trump 2020, sharing some thoughts with us as we get together looking over the past week and talking about some of the developments. We really appreciate your time with us, and we want to see if we can have you back on a regular basis, maybe with an update even next week.
That'd be great. I had a good time joining you and look forward to joining you again.
AM 870, The Answer.
Matt Burr is joining us. He is the CEO and co-founder of Nomadic Learning. Thank you so much for taking some time to discuss this with us. You know, we've all gotten to know the new normal, and in some instances, it's not so bad being at home, getting up, staying in your furry slippers, and being able to wear your sweats. Doesn't mean you can't be productive, does it?
Definitely not. Though for a lot of us, we do kind of recommend maybe not doing that, getting out of your furry slippers and your sweats, because it is important to kind of create some, we talk about walking through a threshold, like kind of walking through the door to the office. You have to recreate that feeling. So we do maybe recommend no sweats and really some kind of sequence of events that feels like once you've finished it, now it's work time.
One thing you noticed right away, I mean, even though there's not a lot of traffic on the streets, is you gain back the drive into work and out of work. Your gas tank remains fuller. There's less wear and tear on your car. Those are just starters before you even sit down to work, right?
The commute itself, I mean, especially in somewhere like L.A., it's, you know, adds a lot of stress to your day, a lot of cost to your day. And then a lot of, you know, I think the other thing is you look at pollution levels over the last few days in L.A., I think they're some of the lowest in a very long time. So there's a collective kind of impact as well. So I think it's important to say that what we're talking about here is not really the end of face-to-face interaction or the end of the office. But what we do think will happen is a kind of rebalancing. When all of this is over, rather than just going exactly back to the way we were, I think a lot of companies are going to say, you know what? There were a lot of good things about that we need to kind of take advantage of, the less stress around the commute, you know, the flexibility around timing and the ability to kind of actually drive a lot more productivity. But let's figure out how to bring some of the great stuff about the office, you know, relationships, team building, brainstorming sessions, but do it in a way that's more flexible than we used to be.
Has technology evolved enough to handle not only one company doing this, but all companies doing this?
That's not actually the biggest problem. Even if the technology is working, even if the technology is staying up and the videos are working, the bigger problem is that people are not changing the way they're working. And if you just try to work the same way you've been working in an office when you move into a virtual or remote environment, it can be very stressful for everyone. So, you know, the volume of communication, the volume of emails and messages and being constantly having to be on video conferences, which is kind of weirdly stressful when you have children around and so on. This is almost the kind of biggest problem that we need to navigate right now as companies and as employers especially, which is finding new ways of working and new rules for how we interact with each other to make sense, not just of being in remote, but being remote in this particular very strange circumstance where our kids are home as well and there's a lot of stress in there. So the employers that are doing this best right now are just giving an enormous amount of freedom and flexibility to their employees to figure it out on their own. There's a lot of trust. You know, if there's a lot of trust, that's good. The employers that are not doing so good, and we're hearing some of these stories, are, you know, like I heard of a story of a company today who they put a keystroke monitor on everyone's laptops, and they were checking to see if you had stepped away from your laptop while you were working remotely because the keystrokes weren't being typed enough, right? And then they dinged you on a point system. So you see your points going down if your kid needs to tie their shoe or whatever. And that is pretty much the exact opposite of what we should be doing. That's just creating more stress. It's driving down productivity. It's eroding trust between the employer and employee. So it's a strange moment, and one of the things that employers need to do very, very quickly is change the way they think about their interaction with their employees.
Yeah. You mentioned the keystroke monitor. Well, these are unprecedented times, and how are you going to mention and measure productivity? If you have a manager out there expecting the same kind of number of widgets being sold with all that's gone down and all the businesses that are not operating, you've also got an issue with management.
No, it's true. I mean, look, I think for those of us, there's a lot of people who can't work from home right now. Right, the people who work in restaurants and barbers and any number of people who are in a very, very difficult situation right now. One of the things those of us who can work from home have to do is maintain our productivity. But what we do have to do is say the old way of doing it, me standing over your shoulder and checking the number of widgets you've done by the minute, is probably not the best thing for this moment.
Yeah.
And it's more about the leadership of an organization conveying the seriousness of the moment, our a need for you to commit to keep getting your work done because it's so important, not just for you as an individual or for a company, but really for the entire American economy.
Yeah, you raise a lot of points. The whole thing reminds me of a story, something I read a long time ago, and it was something about looking up at a hill and seeing the path that is worn in the grass and that was set, hundreds of years ago by a goat that walked that way, and then all the goats after him walked that way, and trying to convey that to today's business where people all get in their cars at 7:30 and drive for 45 minutes and then all leave at 4:30 or 5 and drive for 45 minutes. That model needed to change, but it hadn't. This may be the impetus to finally make it happen. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I'm sure it is. I mean, there's a big nasty ogre sitting in the middle of that path now, so we can't take it. We got to find a new path. And once we start finding that new path, I think the old path is going to look less attractive for a lot of people, right? I mean, and again, I don't think offices are going to disappear, but I think the way we think about them and the way we use them and what they're for is going to be different. And the idea of everyone having to come at the exact same time and be there for the exact same time and leave at the same time, even if they don't really need to be there for certain things they're doing, I think that's going to seem kind of antiquated when this is all over. And then you need to find creative new ways to use those spaces for what they're best at, which is getting people together, to build relationships, to brainstorm, and that kind of a thing, which are really important, but don't necessarily need to happen from 7:30 to 5 exactly and all.
Could it be a sea change that we don't exactly need skyscrapers anymore, that we really don't need a commercial rents and leases at so many thousands of dollars a square foot? I mean, couldn't this really be you could put your servers in some low rent area in some cheap state and save a lot of money as a business?
Yeah, I mean, or you can use a cloud provider to do a lot of that for you, And so, I mean, yeah, I'd be nervous if I was in commercial real estate today. I mean, again, it's not going to, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, right? So we don't know how this whole thing is going to end.
Yeah. And with that, got to leave it there, out of time. The article in the opinion piece of the Wall Street Journal is titled "Coronavirus Will Permanently Change How We Work." Matt Burr is one of the writers on that article, CEO and co-founder of Nomadic Learning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Larry. It was a great conversation.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.